going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a Celtics Wednesday, which means it's time for Pure Hoops. Pure Playoff Hoops, as Billy has labeled it, at Jones and Keith. Justin Turpin, Turp, from WEEI, joining us here in studio as he does every Wednesday at high noon. What's up, Turp?
What's up? Big game two tonight.
Woo! Big game two tonight.
Biggest game of the year.
Huge.
You'll be in the building.
I will.
Will Jason Tatum be playing tonight?
I don't think so. I think it's telling that he was ruled doubtful as opposed to questionable. And, I mean, I guess it's nothing really to be concerned about. I mean, we saw, like, the Vegas line kind of tells the story. They moved from 12-point favorites to 10-point favorites. This is a team they can beat without. And we were talking about it last week. Like, they could probably beat this team without two starters. Now they're getting put to the test here. But I just don't see the point in pushing them at this point. It's the first round of the playoffs. Like, I just don't understand the appeal to push them. Like, let them rest up, and if it's a minor thing, just, you know, get them ready.
What do you think the fallout's going to be with Joe Mazzulla yelling at him to get up and then him, you know, being hurt, maybe even missing a game, maybe missing more than one game? But we were talking about it a lot yesterday. How many coaches do you see, especially in the NBA, yelling at their star player to get up?
None. Right. And that's what makes Joe Mazzulla so special to that group. Like, Al Horford was talking about it yesterday at practice. They completely identify with him. They completely embrace his personality. So that stuff, it's viewed differently to the outside, like to people, like fans and other people around to just kind of catch it. But that's not something that bothers them.
Well, but the outside stuff bothers Tatum. He said it. I mean, he said that in a bunch of different interviews, that he pays attention to what's said about. And this, between his mommy being outside the locker room, and this, it's all kind of snowballed into something different. So even if he doesn't have a problem with Mazzulla per se, I would imagine, because he said in the past, he pays attention to social media and he takes those criticisms to heart. I'd imagine he has an issue with the perception of him being soft.
For sure.
And that Mazzulla video doesn't help. So whether he has a direct problem with Joe, I bet he has a problem with what's happened with that video.
I mean, regardless of what happened, he was going to be hearing that anyway. He was going to be hearing that he's soft because he was down. And part of me thinks it was him selling the flagrant as well. I think if he popped right back up and went to the free throw line, I'm not sure if he gets a flagrant foul there, right? If he just pops up, they don't review it, and they just carry on. I think part of it was selling that, and he was also, he's dealing with something. He was injured on the play. He did stick around after and actually scored, I think, 9 points had 3 rebounds. It was actually better after the injury than he was during the game before.
He was fine. Yeah,
he was fine, so. I mean, again, it's just, I don't see the point of pushing them at this point. It's a team that you can beat without them. They understand that there's a long ways between now and June 5th, and that's what they're focused on.
But if he's not hurt, right? Like, if he's, why would you hold him back? I mean, is he cleared or is he not? Can he go? Can he not? It's a bone bruise. It's a pain tolerance thing, according to Shams. So, I don't know. I mean, if he can go, why wouldn't he just go?
I think Keith mentioned it earlier, like, is it something you really want to waste, like, if he has to do shots or something, is that something you really want to do in the first round against Orlando? Maybe this is a persistent thing. Like, you don't know if it's something that will pop up back down the line, or would you rather do it in game 2 against Orlando, or a closeout game against New York or Cleveland. I think they need him in New York. I'm assuming it's going to be New York. I think they beat Detroit, though. That's going to be a good series. But you're going to need him more then than you are going to need him now against Orlando. And I'm not saying that you can mess around during a playoff series. Like, let's make that clear. Of course, you want your best player out there, especially when your second best player is dealing with the pain management thing of his own. So it's far from ideal, but I think they understand that they can still handle business. I mean, look, he wasn't even great in game one.
No, it was
not. The guards torched him, and they had an unbelievable game from their two guys in Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, and they still lost by what, 17?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're looking at that, it's like playing the long-term game here. We're 5 weeks from the NBA Finals. That's what we're playing for.
What do you make of Horford's comments about KCP going after Tatum a few times, kind of basically saying, you know, he's doing some dirty stuff crossing the line? Because I don't know. I didn't really see it that way.
Did you guys see the leaked video? Like, I shouldn't say leaked. It was like a video on Twitter. There was like some audio. People enhanced it, and Horford was yelling at him, like, that's three times. That's three times. He was yelling at KCP about it. They seem pretty torn. Jrue Holiday was asked about it after the game on Sunday, and he didn't think it was anything more than just physical playoff basketball. I think it was reckless. I don't think it was anything like intentional. You know what I mean? I think it was just a reckless play, and unfortunately it results in a wrist injury for Tatum. But I don't know. It is playoff basketball, and they also have that mentality. That's the way they play. They're a physical basketball
team. I feel
like
that's their only chance. I don't think they have a chance, but like their only chance. And I can understand, you know, Horford defending his guys and stuff, but it felt like it was crossing over to like I don't view him as like a dirty player, and like you got to be physical with Tatum.
KCP, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Me neither.
I also think Al Horford sees his guy on the ground twice.
Sure.
Because that was two times that Tatum was knocked down from KCP. I think he sees it. And Al Horford, again, they talk about him all the time as this leader in the clubhouse. That like that's their guy. That's their emotional leader. And when he sees their best player on the ground, he comes running over and he's going to say something. I don't think that's anything like out of character.
Do you think, I don't know, you think other teams take note of the Magic being physical with the Celtics in one game? I've said this consistently. Orlando is not talented enough to take advantage of the Celtics, even without Tatum tonight. Like, I think they'll win without Tatum. So the Magic are not the team to take advantage of it, but is it possible a team like New York, Detroit, Cleveland, OKC, maybe even the Lakers, they take note and they say, oh, the Celtics play way too comfortable. Night in and night out, they're way too comfortable. This is a way to make them uncomfortable. It was only one game, but is there a possible thing to glean from this, if you're a future opponent, a blueprint, if you will, on how to play the Celtics going forward?
I mean, physicality is how you win in the NBA playoffs. Like, I don't think that's independent to the Celtics. Like, that's how you win. You have to up the physicality. You listen to any player or coach talk about NBA playoff basketball, the first thing they bring up is physicality. That's the biggest change in the game from the regular season to the postseason. So I don't think that's necessarily independent of the Celtics. And in the past, they have struggled against these physical teams, these more, like, look at Orlando, for example. Like, this has been their DNA for a couple seasons now, and they were 4-6 against Orlando entering the playoffs this year in the regular season over the last 3 years. And that's because they're physical, they play hard, and they have a lot of length. And in the past, those teams have given the Celtics issues. I just don't see it with this iteration of the Celtics because they can match that physicality. And I think Jrue Holiday does a great job in setting that tone. Jaylen Brown has come out more and done that. Kristaps Porzingis can do it. They can all do it. And also, they can hurt you in so many different ways. Like, look at game one, for example. You had Jrue Holiday, Peyton Pritchard, and Derek White. You had your guards doing it, and this was a series that was supposed to be all about the wings, right? It was supposed to be Banchero and Wagner versus Tatum and Brown. And Tatum and Brown, and Porzingis for that matter as well, struggle efficiency-wise, and the guards pick them up. So the Celtics just have so many different ways to hurt you now, and I think they all do a good job of responding to physicality because they've been there, they've done that, and they understand that's what it takes to win.
Now, we all picked the Celtics either in 4 or 5 on the show in the series. The Magic did beat the Celtics twice in the regular season. One game, they didn't play any of their guys, meaning the Celtics. But the two losses, both, there was no Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
That was like sort of the one theme. So without Tatum, what changes for the Celtics? Like, what do you think the starting lineup looks like? Who is going to have to be the guy there? Because maybe Orlando says, hey, guys, we've actually beaten this version of the Celtics before. Maybe it gives them a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, Al Horford's going to slide in to the starting lineup, and they're going to start double big, which honestly could be a good thing for the Celtics. They've fared really well against double big. Obviously, it's not good that they
don't need
without
Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
Headline Terp. Celtics don't need Tatum.
I knew that's where this was going.
Good. No, that's good. Break that out. Good.
No. They have fared well with the double big this year, and I think that's something that could work well against this Orlando team. So Al Horford's going to slide in there, and the good thing is it's like you have Al Horford sliding in now into your starting lineup off the bench. Like, what a luxury that is. Like, they're just so talented. And this Orlando team, we were just, like, outside of Franz and Paolo, there's nothing there. So the Celtics should be able to take care of business without Tatum. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not ideal to have your best player out during the playoffs, but if there was a series that it was acceptable, it'd be this one.
Yeah, and again, I don't think they need him. I understand your point, Keith, that they the Magic won some of these games without Tatum in the regular season. Different element in the postseason. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. I don't think they need him, and I still wonder if he's going to go tonight, but Terp doubts that. It's Justin Turpin, WEEI. You can check out all his work, WEEI.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Justin M. Turpin. Taking a step back and looking at the rest of playoff basketball as much as you can, Terp, I know you're at game one anyways. Has anything else jumped out to you about any potential future opponents for the Celtics in a good or bad way?
Those Pacers. The Pacers have been really good. Milwaukee hasn't stood a chance. I mean, it's been all Giannis, and he hasn't had any help. Granted, I know Damian Lillard missed game one, but there's been nothing there outside of Giannis. And I think people were forgetting about the Pacers a little bit. Like, that was a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year and gave the Celtics a run for their money. I know they swept them, but
it was the closest sweep.
Mazzulla was on record saying that was the hardest series they played.
It was.
Like, that was the
Andrew Nimhard.
Nimhard's a real thing. Like, that guy's the real deal.
Do you think the Pacers could knock off the Cavs?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's been pretty clear since November or December that it was going to be Boston and Cleveland mm-hmm. in the Eastern Conference Finals. But, I mean, the Pacers can make it a little bit more difficult than people may have thought. I think Cleveland would have steamrolled Milwaukee, but we'll see. I think Indiana deserves a little bit more respect than maybe they would have received going into the playoffs.
Also, pretty good bad blood there. Like, I'm always looking for rivalries. I'm always looking for something. It seems like Bucks Pacers don't like each other, so that's fun. Well,
Halliburton and Lillard were kind of going
great.
At each
that's
other,
what,
right?
That's what we need.
Did you see that whole thing with Lillard in game one when he wasn't even playing?
Yes, that's what I meant. That's what
and, like, Pascal Siakam was over there and was like, get out of here. Like, so that's great. We need more of that. It'll never, you know, go all the way back to where it was, where, you know, guys are, like, punching each other and stuff. But if you can have at least some bad blood in these series, that's good. I don't know. Maybe Horford and KCP are trying to get it going in this one, but you also need the teams to be a little bit more even to really have
it. I'm excited to see how they respond to that tonight. I mean, you know he's going to hear it during the player introductions when he's introduced. And I think Al Horford especially was – you don't really see him that angry like that when he's – you can't really, like, hear it in his voice because he's still a reserved guy, but you don't see Al Horford that annoyed with –
Well, Horford's used to getting away with the cheap stuff, and so he's annoyed when somebody else is getting away. He's supposed to be the one who's getting away with all of that cheap stuff. I just think when it comes down to Tatum and the discussion about Tatum, do you think he's soft?
I don't. I mean, he's better.
Do you think players are soft? Like, are there some players you look at and you go, that guy's soft, like, regardless of who that is?
I mean, the league had to institute a rule to incentivize players to be on the court. So why
is Tatum not in that group?
I mean, he's been with the Celtics now since, 2017-2018 season. They've played 114 games, or playoff games, over that stretch. He hasn't missed a single one.
Right. So, I mean, but he hasn't been hurt. So, I mean, to me, that would be...
He's played through wrist stuff before. He's played through different ailments.
So he was hurt in the Miami series,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, he's banged up.
Yeah, I mean... Took a hard fall there, Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I guess this would be my point, and the Twitch chat brought this up earlier. There is a difference between being soft and being injury-prone, right?
Yeah.
And so he does play. Keith made this point earlier. Jaylen Brown, I think, is tougher than Tatum. Jaylen Brown misses games. So to me, those are two different things. I think when you think about Tatum and his toughness, I would juxtapose it with Jaylen. I think that's why some fans more with him
than
Tatum.
Does this also go back to how he carries himself, though?
It's 100% that. I think it is how they carry themselves. Because when you're talking about games played advantage Tatum, minutes is about a wash, right? So, like, in the games, I'm sure they're getting knocked down and they're getting hurt or whatever. They play. Like, you can rely on them. In fact, Tatum played more minutes than Brown did even in the playoffs last year, even though Brown was the Finals MVP and the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Tatum plays. But, yeah, there's just a lot of guys in the NBA that have that thing where either it's ingrained in them to sell fouls or to sell flagrants or whatever. Like, I mean, draw a charge. It is. It's like, unfortunately, it is. Like, you watch soccer. Like, if you watch international soccer, the best of the best, you're like, why is that guy down? He's going to keep playing. Why is he laying around like he's dead?
The guy's, like, 7 feet tall. I forget who it was. It was a smaller guard that, like, leaned into him, and Jokic flew back 4 feet. Like, that's just, unfortunately, part of the game now.
I know. Your guy's GOAT, LeBron, flopping around.
Jalen Brunson's a perfect example.
Again, LeBron takes forever to get up. Celtics fans are like, get up! They're all yelling at him like Mazzulla.
They're all Mazzulla, yeah.
Tatum's down. They're like, oh, he's really hurt. And he wasn't milking the injury. He was really hurt.
Yeah.
Terp, I believe you did not see the latest Celtics City?
I haven't yet. I've been so caught up in the playoffs.
Now, I would tell you, though, this is a good one for Terp, because how old were you in 08?
One.
Seven?
Negative three.
Seven?
You're seven. Okay, so there's a ton of good stuff in this episode.
This is another good one.
And again, I think outside of the slow start, the first two or three, the 60s and 70s to me, it was too slow moving. But this focus is mainly on 08. It's the aftermath of Paul Pierce getting stabbed at the Buzz nightclub. You know, it's all the way through the championship in 2008. It's the trade for Garnett and Allen and that whole back and forth. There's a ton of interesting stuff in here from Pierce talking about, I was addicted to NyQuil because I couldn't
he was
sleep
terrified
after I got stabbed, which you can understand. I didn't know that. I mean, Pierce revealed at one point, Patino was like, do you want to get traded? I'll trade you.
Patino, that would have been a great lasting thing for Patino.
Imagine like, traded Billups and Pierce.
Like, honestly,
and
on the
Joe
one
Johnson.
Hand,
and Joe Johnson.
Like, it's sort of like, it's kind of like a good human thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Pierce is scared to be here and he's offering him like olive branch.
Pierce
like,
framed it that way. Pierce is like, he had my back. He had my back. But it's like, wow, so Patino wanted to trade Paul Pierce too?
Yeah. What a slime ball, by the way, when he like quits on the team and then he's like, I'll hold a press conference. Jackie McMullen's like, still waiting on that press conference. I'm surprised Patino.
I didn't know he blew off the. He just resigned by fax and bailed. I didn't know that.
Sent the fax, took off.
I was too young. I wasn't seven, but I was too young.
But that was wild that he agreed to be a part of the documentary. Like, because Bill Simmons went on.
Of course, it was a chance to make it about him. Of course he would.
Yeah, but it went really poorly, like really poorly.
He doesn't care. Any attention's good attention
See,
for him.
That is his mindset. But like Bill Simmons was asked by Jimmy Kimmel, like, was there anybody that you wanted for the documentary that you didn't get? And he's like, yeah, like nobody wanted to be the villain. So like Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Charles Barkley, like they reached out to those guys that played against the Celtics and lost.
Well, Isaiah Thomas said no specifically because of how he was portrayed in The Last Dance.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want to have that again.
Well, I mean, when you're an a-hole and you get portrayed as an a-hole, that's nobody's fault but your own.
But this one would have been worse because they would have had the whole press conference with Bird. Oh, that would have been a weird thing.
That's disappointing that Barkley wouldn't do it.
It is, but it's funny, though, that like Rick Pitino's like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, you're like, you're not going to come across crazy. Like, I don't care.
Like,
I'm in it.
Barkley is like thick-skinned, I thought, and like is not afraid to take shots at it. He won't be a part of this. Like,
Barkley's also been really complimentary in the past of Kevin McHale. He said he's the most difficult cover. He was like, the guy had 1,000 moves. Every move was different down there. He's like, he was the most difficult player he ever guarded was Kevin McHale. So that would have been cool to have in it. But no, I thought they did a good job. And much like I mentioned how two episodes ago, they shone some light on those weird D. Brown teams where they didn't really have a whole lot going, but as a kid, I was like obsessed with
them. He wasn't part of it anyway, if you ask Rick Pitino.
No, right. He wasn't part of our plans.
No.
They did a good job highlighting just how fun and really important the Pierce-Antoine teams were with Jim O'Brien for 2 years that for a lot of us, we were like, I don't remember Bird. I was too young for Bird, but that was amazing. They had an Eastern Conference Finals run. We were excited about that team.
Let me tell you, Torb, when you watch the episode, Wick, not a good episode for Wick. Wick is up there taking credit for the Garnett trade.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one who pushed it over. Me and Glenn Taylor pushed it over the finish line, which, come on.
Yeah, I think Ainge and McHale may have had something to do with
it. And he's still acting like he's the owner of the team, which we all know in retrospect. I'm sure this was filmed before the sale. Maybe he had an inkling of a sale coming or not, but he is up there acting like he's the one calling the shots with the organization.
That was a weird connection.
Rough look for Wick.
He was like, I was looking at all my crew trophies, and I was like, I want to win trophies. And
I was like, Dad! Dad, buy me a team. I want a trophy like I got in crew.
I was like, I rode crew. I'm like, God, you lost me there.
You bought me a college education, and I got a trophy in crew. It was super good. Buy me a team, Dad.
That was really strange.
So weird.
I do know the filming did happen before they won the championship, and obviously the sale went up after. So he probably did have an inkling. Like, that's not a decision that's made in 2 weeks between when they win the finals.
No. He had no say whatsoever. It doesn't matter if he had an inkling or not. Wasn't up to him.
No, but he may have known, but he was still just,
Can I ask you one thing while we're talking owner? Chisholm's been at all these games, right?
Yes.
Do they show him? Do they make any point of showing him in the arena?
We see him sometimes just the on the in arena. Sorry.
Yeah,
I was saying on TV every once in a while when they pan over, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's.
Oh, you'll like see him in the background, but they don't make a point of highlighting him at these games, right?
Not that I've seen. They haven't shown him up on the video board yet.
What's up with that?
And maybe they're waiting for it to go official. I mean, he's sitting right next to Wick,
is there an indication that
maybe Wick and Steve are like, don't?
Right, it could be that.
Yeah.
Is there any indication? Again, it's not finalized. Like, could it fall?
Tariffs?
Could it
you want to talk about tariffs?
Could it fall through?
I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's still a lot that needs to go right between when this is finalized and, you know, how he actually gets the keys to the franchise.
I find it to be interesting. He's out all the games.
Pags can still...
sitting right next to Wick. Yeah, and Pags right there.
Not awkward at all, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is a weird setup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange. It
all right, Terp. Pure hoops with Terp. Pure playoff hoops with Terp now. As we get into the April month here of the playoff basketball. So Terp, good stuff. Check him out at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter and all his work. WEEI, you want his pregame stuff, postgame stuff, all the Celtics coverage, best place to get it. Terp, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. See you guys.
All right. That is Pure Hoops with Terp. Let's get back into the Bruins press conference earlier today. We have more prickliness, this time from Cam Neely. We played you some of Don Sweeney earlier. We'll get to that right after.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Trending with Billy Lane. Jones and Keith, WEEI. We'll get back into your thoughts on Jason Tatum, his availability. Is he soft? His coach seems to think so. He needs his mommy to fight his battles. So we can get back into that coming up. Real quick item here, Keith. This just came out on social media.
Yes.
Todd McShay put out a mock draft today.
All right.
He has the Patriots taking Will Campbell.
Will Campbell?
No shock.
From the clouds.
Stick till the end of this. And then I want to update more from the Bruins press conference, but stick till the end of this.
All right, I'm listening.
Campbell might not be high on many other teams' boards.
Oh, no. I'm a Campbell guy. I don't like where this is starting.
But New England's ranking is all that matters. True. New head coach Mike Vrabel fell in love with Campbell after meeting him multiple times in the draft process. That echoes a tweet we read from Jeremy Fowler earlier today.
Okay.
Campbell's recall in football intelligence, Sol Vrabel, blah, 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 blah.
Good recall.
There's even a report that Drake May knows that Campbell is the pick.
What?
What's that report? Whose report is that?
Who's saying that?
There's even... So
you
what
know
is
what
he,
I maintain?
What is
Who
he
slips sink ships?
Is he saying he's heard that or there's a report? Why wouldn't you reference the report? Give
so
me a
Drake
link.
Drake May...
Hyperlink me.
...has been told they're taking Will Campbell.
There's
is
even,
he going to be in the war room making the call?
There's even a... This is what he wrote. This is verbatim. Fourth pick, mock draft, Todd McShay.
It's a little early to be running things by Drake May.
There's even a report that Drake May knows Campbell is the pick and he just leaves it as its own thing.
Huh? All right.
Whose report is that?
I don't know. He knows.
Who's got
Does
that
he like it?
Eric
we don't know. We just know that he knows.
Eric Shun?
Eric Shun got him. You know, maybe.
Sports Talk
Eric
Ball
Shun.
Sack? Sports Talk Ball Sack?
It's possible.
Whose take is that? Who?
I don't know.
Where'd that come from, McShay? There's even a report Drake May knows Campbell's the pick. Whose report is that? Where'd that come from?
That's a strange one. It better not be from Elliot Wolf. That's a guy we know you can't trust. That's a guy, according to Peter Schrager, you cannot listen to.
I got a pretty darn good source.
Is it that guy?
That's the thing that people always call you out like on Twitter when they're like, sources, trust me.
Yeah, I got a good one.
Get a pretty good. That was the guy that said Dak Prescott to the Browns, right?
Correct.
Something to monitor. Hasn't happened yet.
I mean, look,
if it happens tonight or more likely tomorrow night, you heard it there first.
This is a Greg Hill scoop timeline for that guy.
Yeah.
You pretty much got until the draft.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
And so, you know, I mean, Greg had until midnight that day of the Bruins' resignation.
Clock's ticking.
And then he bent the knee, but he had some time.
And then Charlie pretty much just gave those guys all kinds of support today. Those guys might have a job for life.
So, again, I don't know what the hell McShay is talking about, but in his mock draft, he says there is a report.
Okay.
Drake May knows the pick.
All right, but this is what will then come down to Mike Vrabel. We've asked this question a lot. Like, how confident are you in a Mike Vrabel draft? And I don't know how anybody can be really negative or positive. I think this is really his first time as the guy calling the shots. In Tennessee, he famously didn't get along with the GM, and that was part of the reasons why he was out of there. We don't think Elliot Wolf's making the pick either. So if he ends up being Will Campbell, and Will Campbell ends up having to kick into guard next year at this time, we're going to question every single thing that Mike Vrabel likes.
And we should. We absolutely should. Right. Wolf is not in command.
Right.
We all know that.
He's out.
Schrager even called him the number two today.
Right. But so, if Will Campbell shows up and he's
stud left tackle,
we're like, Mike Vrabel, pick whoever you want.
Vrabel, you got whoever you want, the world is your oyster.
That's right.
So there you go. Quick item there, just because I read it in the break. I teased, though, some more from this Bruins press conference.
Yes.
Okay.
These guys are a little prickly.
Spoiler alert, they all think they're doing a great job.
Exactly. Just ask them.
In fact, it's overrated how bad they are.
Yeah. The drafts are actually pretty good.
I was reading you some of this earlier. Is this all Neely? This is Neely and KPD going back and forth? Okay.
Right.
This is Kevin Paul DuPont.
And Seabass.
Tara Sullivan already got into Sweeney earlier. We played you a clip.
Yeah.
Kevin Paul DuPont.
The funny thing with the Sweeney clip real quick was like he was getting more fired up and there weren't even any follow-up questions. He was like answering the one question and he was like getting more agitated.
Does anybody even want
his
this
own
job?
Answer?
Yeah. All right, so here's the exchange where and this is not when Neely walked off and maybe called a reporter into his office. This is Neely and Kevin Paul DuPont.
Neither of them have really been up to expectations in my opinion.
So can you just elaborate on that, Kevin?
The drafting?
Yeah.
Well,
where we've picked and who we've picked and how it's turned out.
Where you picked? Stop.
Well,
I'll tell you where you picked and who you missed on in 2015.
Just pull up Hockey Reference.
Oh, my God.
You should know it. You're the ones picking these guys and missing on these guys.
Okay, sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
2015 alone. All right,
where you've picked is not a lot of top 10 picks.
Yeah.
But... ultimately,
not a lot of first-round picks.
But ultimately, are those draft picks, have they developed, have they come in, have they come online the way you want them? If that's the case, fine. But
well, obviously, you know, you wanted to hit on all your picks. There's no question. I mean, the work that the scouts do throughout the course of a year, you know, they put in a lot of time and effort. They understand the players as best they can. We get the information from the scouts. Don ultimately ends up making the picks with the information that he gets from the scouts throughout the year. But I think that our drafting and developing, the narrative there is a little off. It's been going on for quite some time. Goes back to 15. And 15, it was really unfair to Don. By the time Don got hired, it was late May. Draft was late June. He wasn't even probably thinking about being a general manager of the Boston Bruins at the time.
Stop.
What Don...
Stop. This is like the Gerard Mayo thing. It's like, amazing. Gerard Mayo was
he just got the job, and then the scouts made the pick anyway.
Gerard Mayo's the GM. Gerard Mayo's the coach in waiting. It's like, oh, well, was he supposed to think of what he was going to do when he got the job? Yes.
So just to put it in perspective.
Don Sweeney was the assistant GM. He had no idea what they were going to do in the draft.
No.
Get out of my face with that.
So they had picked 13, 14, and 15 that year.
Yeah.
DeBrusque was fine. The other two guys were busts.
Emphasis on fine.
No. Like, fine. Like,
fine.
But, yeah.
He was fine.
He's an NHL player.
Yeah. Ish.
Pick 16, 17, and 18 were all-stars. Pick 23 and 24 were all-stars.
Yeah.
So, like, you... There was
Barzell.
All the guys, yeah, right.
Connor.
Immediately after.
Shabbat.
Yep.
Besser. Konechny.
Correct.
If you go to the second round, Sebastian Aho.
Correct.
So, I mean, you're talking about...
The Bruins...
Nick is correcting my Aho.
Aho. Aho.
Aho.
Like, you can
it
do this with all these.
You say,
we do it with Belichick, so we can do it with Sweeney. 2018, they took Euro Vakanainen, 18th overall.
Well,
two picks later, all star.
Not a lot of top 10 picks, though.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to find any good players? I mean, I don't know. All those guys were drafted outside the top 10 as well. But okay, keep going, Cam. That's good stuff.
All right.
What Don did leading up to the draft to make the acquisitions that he did with those picks to get the three picks
was amazing.
I thought was really good.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Then Don was trying to move up in the draft. It didn't work out. What we should have done, looking back, we should have taken some time out and said, okay, guys, let's regroup here. We didn't move up. We got three picks in a row. I think it was very new for everybody. We stood backstage for those three picks. What we should have done was get back to our table and say, okay, let's sit down and say, are we okay with our list? And, you know, look, these are things you try to learn from. Other picks.
Are we okay with our list? That was 10 years ago.
We've got a number of players, not necessarily playing with the Boston Bruins, but a number of players that we have drafted that have played NHL hockey games.
Nice. Wow.
We have traded those
in
picks.
Our face.
We have traded some of the prospects to try and improve our club to win Stanley Cups. So I the narrative that we're not hitting on all our draft picks. No one is.
Fair.
You pick in the top 10, you better hit. We haven't done that in quite some time.
You hear that?
Yeah, you better
hit. You hear that, Don?
So you better hit. You're picking, what, fourth or fifth?
Yeah.
Although the lottery hasn't happened yet,
as low as sixth. Or seventh? I'm sorry. As low as seventh. You're picking in the top six. So you better hit.
Top
did you get
10.
That?
Yeah, you better hit.
Did you get that,
10.
Don? That's a threat. You better hit in the top 10. Okay, good to know.
Zaporola at 13, though? Toss it out. Doesn't count.
No.
That wasn't top 10. That was 13.
Toss it out. All-stars drafted after them, but who cares?
Toss it out.
Okay, so good. So they better hit in the top 10. It's good to know that. Keep going.
You pick in the top 10, you better.
You better.
Hit.
You better.
Yeah. We haven't done that in quite some time.
No.
So.
What hit?
Have we been perfect? No. Can we be better? Yes.
So it's funny. I think it's actually worse. The draft is actually worse looking at it now and then how defensive they are about it.
Yeah.
So
it's actually pretty good.
15.
We're actually really good at
15
it.
15 don't count. Sweeney had nothing to do with hockey at that point. He just learned the game. He had no idea of any of the prospects.
Oh, my God.
Then all the drafts after that, blame it on the scouts.
Is it possible?
So they blame the scouts and the head coaches. That's what they've done. And that's why they think. And Sweeney had a line in there. Remember, he's like, I'm going to do this job forever. And you're like, you might. He might. I think that he might be allowed to do it forever. These guys are going nowhere.
Is it possible somebody makes one of these two bozos resign today?
And
Greg, in retrospect, is right. Somebody should resign after this.
Well, to say,
they won't, but someone should.
Watching Celtic City, I think most of those coaches resigned. Did everybody resign?
Tino resigned.
Jim O'Brien
resigned.
Casey Jones.
Doc got himself traded. Oh, Casey Jones for sure.
Bill Fitch got fired.
Bill Fitch got fired.
Yeah, he got fired.
Yeah.
But Casey Jones was like, I'm good. So guys kind of call, you know, when they know they've had enough.
All right, we were reading that earlier. The audio was, I would say, significantly better.
You also mentioned at the very end of the press conference, Cam Neely gets up and kind of signals to somebody.
If you want the video, our pals, What Chaos, Deej and Pete, they have a video of Neely after the press conference looking at a reporter and giving him one of the,
come with me,
I want to talk to you. Giving him one of those.
If that was directed towards you, are you going in an office with Cam Neely?
No. No,
pummel you.
Well, I wouldn't.
You go in there and be like,
I wouldn't without a giant poop in my pants. I wouldn't go in with clean underwear. I can tell you that. Yeah.
Puts the blinds down. Turns the security camera off. I'm like, what are you doing, huh? Hey, Cam, what's happening?
Hey, Cam,
what's going on here?
Whoa.
What's going on here? Yeah. Can I turn my phone on? He's like, no.
give me your phone.
I'm recording this.
Give me your phone. I don't consent to any of this.
I have a camera on me at all times. Yeah. Hidden in my hat. Yeah, that would be that'd be a tough go down there.
Okay.
He's feeling the heat, though. They're feeling the heat.
He's to the point where he's calling somebody into the office, or at least off to the side, like, hey, I want to talk to you for a second.
Come here. I didn't like when you brought up the fact that we had bad drafts.
Yeah.
That's not even true. The drafts have actually been great. We have all great players from the drafts that we've been drafting.
Again, the roster is such a joke.
The roster stinks.
It's such a bad roster. And they're like, well, we got a lot of good players. Players play in the NHL on other teams. We drafted them.
So guys that are on the current roster that they drafted are what? McAvoy and Swayman? And minus Lowry?
Pastrnak. Oh, that was Shirelli.
These guys drafted. Yeah. No, they don't get credit for Pastrnak. Pastrnak was the year before, 2014.
I just love the idea that Sweeney just worked there and like the draft snuck up on him.
Yeah.
It's like, well, Don wasn't ready.
He only had a month to prepare
for the
draft.
We should have stood backstage and make sure we were comfortable with our picks, our board. What did he say?
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
He's like, guys, we should have said, hey, is everybody all set with this?
Are you sure?
I know this is happening really fast. We're on the clock. It's like, you have three consecutive picks. You should have some idea who you want.
One would think.
The next three players were all-stars. Like, legit the next three. That's the same thing as N'Keal Harry and A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf.
No,
Deebo Samuel.
This is worse.
Maybe. Oh, why? Because all first.
Because
three cracks at it. Not
it was direct after. Oh, yeah.
And it's the picks right after them. This is worse.
It is. You had three.
It's so much worse.
Three cracks at it. Three panic picks in a row. It's like in fantasy football where you're like, I don't know, Kyle Pitts.
Like, you don't want it literally could have. I'm not the first to say this, but literally, if it would have just set the auto draft, you would have done better.
Would have been better.
Would have been better.
Which they can do now in the NHL, actually.
They can. Central scouting.
Auto pick.
The dumbest thing ever. You have central scouting there right in front of you. Maybe they toggled. They forgot to toggle back to North American skaters. They were stuck on European skaters. Maybe that's why.
I do like the blame the scouts.
Oh, yeah.
Blame the scouts is something I didn't see coming today.
I just like, if you want to tell me the drafting actually isn't as bad as we all think, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
You want to tell me that 2015 wasn't that bad?
Like 2015 was horrible.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
But also, then you'd have to say, too, like, all right, all these years that you didn't have a first-round pick, you traded all those first-round picks away, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, yeah, so you must have a bunch of championships to show for it.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Because if you keep doing that, because people used to, they'd be like, oh, the Rams are so dumb. The Rams are so dumb. They've never had a first-round pick. They won a Super Bowl.
Wow.
Like, you won a Super Bowl, so you can be like, it was worth it. It was worth trading those first-round picks. Wow. The Bruins don't have that, but they did pull as many people pointed out, pulled a Dan Duquette. We've been in first place more than anybody else.
Oh.
Don Sweeney has the best winning percentage of any GM starting the year that he started.
Let me give
you. Are you sure about that?
I think so.
Let me give you the exact quote. It was, we have the best winning percentage since Don Sweeney's hiring.
Wow.
To which a caller brought up earlier today, it's a great point. Well, if regular season winning percentage counts, why'd you fire Bruce Cassidy?
Mm.
Why'd you fire Monty? They both have better winning percentages than Don Sweeney. What were we firing them for?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. We'll get to your thoughts on this. Bunch of you waiting patiently. 617-779-7937. Tatum, his softness, the Bruins, that wacky press conference earlier today. That's next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's a bone bruise, according to Shams. It's a pain tolerance issue, according to Shams. So if I'm going to choose to read into that, Keith.
Yes.
If Tatum wants to tough it out, he can play.
I'm going to read into it.
That'd be my interpretation.
They're going to take the great game away from him. He did play in the game. He didn't tap out.
Yeah, no, he finished the game
one.
Because he was fine.
But maybe they're saying, well, maybe he's not fine. Maybe he's a little bit banged up.
It's a bone bruise.
There's a line in between fine and banged up. And maybe he's a little bit closer to banged up. But they're probably, I think there's a chance they say it's Orlando. It's game two.
Give me a percentage he plays tonight. He's doubtful. Last we saw, he's doubtful. Unless I missed an update in the last 5 minutes.
If he's still doubtful, based on that, it should be.
No, it's so much higher than that.
25%?
51%.
Then he'd be questionable.
I think, yeah, but they've upgraded guys. Now, playoffs are different.
I'll give you that. If they change the designation, I'll say he's in.
Oh, but I think there's a good chance.
When do they do that?
51% chance he's getting upgraded. And I think some of this.
And then he'll get a hero's welcome at the Garden, as he should.
That's what he wants. It's what he wants.
Well, I don't think this is why he's doing it.
If he plays, will you think that? If he plays, will you start to come to my side?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, I'll take a little bit.
I think he's out.
Okay.
I think he's out.
49%
I think that wrist is barking at him.
51% he's in.
All right.
And regardless, it's pain tolerance and a bruise, according to Shams.
Yeah.
But on your bone, though.
Yeah, bone bruise.
That hurts. That hurts. Put a bag of ice on it a little bit. You can only ice 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off, that kind of thing.
If it's pain tolerance and he can't play, that means he can't tolerate the pain.
We haven't told this story yet. Not a little peek behind the curtain here on this show. Nick pulled his back out lifting a dog up.
Yeah, it feels great.
He was out yesterday with the back pain. So he's back.
I was doubtful until about 6 o'clock Monday night.
So then he's day-to-day.
Larry Bird, game five.
Yeah. He was in traction.
If tough. I could have come running in here today, I would have.
Quick show poll?
Yeah, show poll.
Who's tougher, Nick or Tatum?
Well, if he could run the board by laying on the floor, he'd do it.
I mean, Nick is here. Let's see if Tatum's here tonight.
Yeah, but he said he couldn't see Sinners because of his back pain. Oh. So
I'm honestly more upset about that than anything.
He couldn't even go to the movies. His back hurts so bad. They don't need you to act in the movie, Nick.
The whole thing was I couldn't sit long enough without everything tightening up.
No, I get it.
He's a very animated viewer of movies.
Watching Michael B. Jordan is an aerobic exercise. I get that.
If they yell, chicken jockey, I got to stand up and throw my popcorn. I got to really get involved in the show, in the film. But anyway, no, Tatum is...
Okay, but if he plays... If he plays, his little Willis Reed moment because he's super tough, then maybe you'll come a little to my side of the street.
Mm,
great.
Maybe.
Let's go to the phones here. Our pal Jake is in Boston waiting patiently on the Bruins. Hello, Jake.
Yeah, let's talk about this delusional Bruins presser. First of all, the sheer Harvard pompous of one Donald Sweeney, the defiance, the inability for him and any other Harvard grad to admit they were ever wrong about anything came across this morning. And you know what? I know it's not ideal to say the word rebuild, but you had a core here that had four players play 1,000 games for you. You made 3 cup finals. You won a cup. You actually made the right call on resetting when you needed to. You don't need to be ashamed of that. You had a good run. So don't deflect and deny it. Don't gaslight your fan base. And if you believe the crap you spew this morning, you shouldn't be the GM and the team president anymore. And the problem you've got now with both Sweeney and Cam is twofold. Number one, you play in the toughest division in hockey. There isn't a Band-Aid solution that gets you into the playoffs from this division. So don't even attempt it. Go ask Detroit how long they've been trying to do it. And two, the GM candidate that I would ideally pick for a rebuild is 30 years younger than them. And I'm talking about someone like Ryan Bonus, who is the assistant GM in Ottawa, who is a scout with the Penguins, who is 6 and slugging around the garden.
Okay.
No,
I was going to say, hiring the next guy, fine.
Yeah. No, they got these guys for now.
Did you get I didn't think Sweeney came across as pompous, and I didn't listen to the full thing. We didn't take it for a full hour, but... You know, I don't know that the pompous came across there. Neely seething is what came across to me.
No, Neely kind of finger wagging at everybody that the drafts are better than you think was way worse than Sweeney.
Yeah.
Sweeney kind of did a weird thing where he went third person and he was like, guys are going to want to coach the Bruins whether they're working with Don Sweeney or not. Yeah. That was his whole thing.
I do like that Neely put him on notice. Well, you're drafting.
Better hit.
You better hit. You're in the top 10. You better hit. Okay, good. He better hit. Yeah. Because I don't. Did they have another bad year? Independent of how whoever they draft, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, for God's sakes, regardless of if that guy makes an impact, if they have a bad year, I think Sweeney's
good.
I think Sweeney will be fired.
Yeah.
Neely's probably not super safe either.
Mm-hmm.
But good. It's good that he got put on notice, and maybe that was a touch of separation between Neely and Sweeney. It's like, well, I'll be safe because he's the one who screwed up the pick. Jacob is in the car. Hello, Jacob.
All right, I have 2 points that prove your everything's an inside job theory wrong. Can I go on the clock?
Oh, you want to go on the clock?
Hang on.
Yeah, hang on.
Throw him on the clock.
I think Nick is, I don't know if he's in traction back there.
We're efforting the clock.
Nick's easing his back. Okay, good. Yeah, put him on the clock. Let's go. Yeah, go on.
All right, we all know the Pope died late Sunday, early Monday, and Nick Castellanos didn't hit a home run. Kind of fishy. He always hits a home run when a tragedy happens. I always thought the 2 for Tuesday was an inside job. I ended up winning yesterday. I'm going May 3rd against the Twins with my cousin Scott. So to everyone listening, keep dialing. You'll get it. Thank you very much.
How about
inside job?
We're
being accused of an inside job giving him tickets. I mean, I don't know how that's going to play with the FCC.
No, that's true. But enjoy the game.
Yeah, enjoy the game. Have fun.
Yeah, Nick Castellanos didn't homer after the Pope died.
I shockingly didn't know that.
Yeah, which is probably for the best. I
think he actually
went
0 for 5 because I did bet it.
Oh,
Nick from Traction.
Yeah, Nick. I had my phone.
Nick is lying there.
I'm starting to wonder if his bad
full,
back.
In a full body cast.
Maybe Nick's got, you know, maybe the bookies came after Nick a little bit.
Oh.
Maybe some bad bets.
He lost a few
they
bets.
They come after him a little bit.
No, he tailed the, you tailed the Tucker bet on Friday.
I did tail the Tucker bet.
I mean, Kyle Tucker dong is free money.
You know, that's how Keith loves Tucker more than anybody, and he's benefiting the least.
Don't have him in the dong pool. I'm not taking him
not
daily.
Making it, not
daily
making
dongs.
Any home run bets on him.
Man.
Miss, miss, miss. Kelly's in Amherst. Go ahead, Kelly.
What's up, yo? So first off, that last guy, that was pretty awesome. Tough act to follow. But I just want to say, you were talking about Tatum, and you mentioned, you know, if it's a pain tolerance thing, then that means he's soft. Dude, I get that logic. But, and I'm not even calling to defend Tatum because he hasn't even done anything yet or not done anything yet to be defended. But I'm just going to call out right now and say that take at game one right now to you to go to Tatum is soft as a take. That is soft, bro. Do more. Do okay. better.
Kelly,
thank
real,
you.
Kelly, real quick. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why do you think Mazzulla was yelling at him to get up and holding back
now,
the trainer?
Yeah, well, Mazzulla's yelling at him because sometimes Tatum's a crybaby. I won't deny that okay. Tatum is a crybaby.
All right, fine. Crybaby soft. Let's agree to let's agree that we're basically on the same side
no,
of the street
my,
on that one.
My point with you, it's more how he carries himself. His overall toughness, he plays as many minutes as anybody in the NBA, right? Because he plays as many games as almost anybody, and then he plays a ton of games. So he's obviously playing through stuff. There's no way he starts the year, ends the year 100% healthy without anything ever going wrong.
Right, it's not like he leads the league in games played. I mean, he plays more
but he's up there. Did he leave the league in minutes?
He's definitely up there. Did he leave the league in minutes?
No,
I don't
probably
know.
Not, because Thibodeau's not his coach, so he probably didn't leave the league in minutes. But I bet he was up there in minutes. He's been up there in minutes before. But the point is...
Okay, so in games... can I not search by games played?
You should be able to.
ESPN.
You got to find yourself a better stat service. You can't find
Wait, but
games
like, who
played.
Led the league in games played? That's the toughest guy in the league?
No, but I think
that's just a guy who's healthy. That's not tough. He's healthy.
But I can't. You think he's not playing through stuff? My point would be, I bet he's playing through stuff.
I think Jalen's playing through more.
Okay, but
and
he also
and Jalen does
not play.
Okay, but Jalen does miss games.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but I think
Jalen carries himself as a tougher player. He doesn't whine as much as Tatum.
Yeah,
but who has played more minutes over their career? Who has been available in more games?
Tatum for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, but I do think. One guy can be more injury prone and fragile, but tough. No, like Amendola before he got to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Amendola was fragile. He was injury prone.
Right.
Amendola was tough.
Okay.
You don't think?
I don't know.
So those are different things to you.
Yeah. Like so,
I think those are different.
Okay. But there has to be something with just year in and year out if you're able to play through stuff and maybe you avoid the big injury and there's a little
Ripken,
bit of luck to that.
Ripken toughest player of all time. Okay, well, I mean, that's your argument.
Yeah, no, I guess he is. Yeah, I guess
so he is the toughest player of all time.
I don't really like Cal Ripken, but yeah, I guess he's pretty tough.
Okay. Tatum played the 14th.
Yeah. He's nuts.
Cam Neely missed a ton of time. You want to tell him he's not tough?
I'm not going to tell him that.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell him that to his face.
Okay. So I do think those are two different things, personally. But if they're the same, maybe they're the same. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the draft. I want to flesh out this McShay. There's a report Drake May knows the pick. Where on earth is he getting that from?
I don't know.
I'll do more digging on that. We'll get back to the Patriots and their pick at 4. Is there a possible curveball up their sleeve? That's next.